The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to Why I Believe. We are here today with Chad Strang, who has been gracious enough to be willing to come and share his story about how he first came in contact with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Chad, why don't you begin by telling us your story?
It started with a group of friends of mine. I lived in Miami at the time, and we had made a decision to fly to Utah for a winter skiing trip, and I had made the decision to pick Utah. It was my turn, if you will, to pick the location, and I had picked Utah. So we worked out the details, and we were flying through Phoenix, from Miami to Phoenix into Salt Lake, and there was quite a snowstorm in Salt Lake at that time, and we had gotten bumped off all of our flights. We were literally in Phoenix the entire day. We got bumped all of our flights, and we had made some arrangements, and we had reservations and a fairly tight schedule while we were here. So we were quite anxious to get to Salt Lake. So we had decided to offer the man at the gate, the gentleman at the gate, an opportunity to maybe take he and his wife out to dinner that night if there was possibly an opportunity for us to get on that flight. And it just so happened it worked out well for us, and I'm grateful. I joke with my wife about it now. I tell her it was the best $20 I ever spent. But I happened to be the last one on the plane. There were six of us traveling that day, and I was the last one on the plane. And I remember that experience quite vividly. I remember turning the corner as you get on the plane and almost seeing who is now my wife, almost catching her eye immediately. So it was really an interesting thing that happened there. And of course, I started walking down the aisle, and sure enough, the only seat that was left, she was sitting on the aisle, happened to have been right next to her, across the aisle. So I proceeded to stuff my belongings up in the overhead, and she had the gumption, if you will, to say something to me. And I remember stuffing my jacket up in the overhead, and she says, "Boy, that seems like an awfully nice jacket to just kind of ball up and stuff in there." And we started talking right from that moment, and we hit it off, and we talked the whole flight. So it was that was really the start of it. So,
and so she was a member of the church.
She was a member of the church. Yeah, in fact, that was one of the first things she told me, and that was she was Mormon, and for some reason it didn't register, and I thought Amish is what popped into my head. And of course, she was dressed in just a pair of jeans and a comfortable shirt and a pair of running shoes, and so I just dismissed it more or less. But we just hit it off, and there was something different about her. There was something. I don't want to say reverent, but she was just so sweet and so kind, and I could tell by the way she acted and carried herself and conducted herself that she just had something different, the standard about her, and that was really my first exposure to an LDS member, if you will. So,
and this is what attracted you to the church.
That's right. I was in Salt Lake for 10 days, and just about every night, you know, I mean, it was just a couple hours. We would go out and get ice cream or go out on a date or whatever. And again, that was just that exposure to her was, it was just something different. There was something I'd never experienced before. I mean, she just had a standard, and it's one thing that she, let me know right up front. She kind of laid it out for me that this is the kind of person I am, and this is what you can expect from me. And I think that's good, because those standards aren't always there. things in far as relationships and in my experience in the past can move quite fast and as a result of that. But she was sure to let me know that she had a standard, and I was so grateful for that. I respected that so much, and really, it was one of the many things that was an immediate attraction to her. That was just an intrigue and a mystery, and I just appreciated that so much. I appreciated her just willingness to live by a standard. Obviously, I had to go back to Miami. We had a wonderful time together, and shortly after, I had received in the mail a Book of Mormon.
Let me just insert here for those who are listening who may not know. The Book of Mormon is a companion scripture to the Bible that teaches about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that was an amazing experience because it meant something. I knew what it meant to her. I'm not sure as if I was necessarily ready to read the Book of Mormon. I'll be honest, I just didn't tear it open and start reading. I remember sitting on my table for a couple of weeks, in fact, before I opened it. But her and I would talk back and forth regularly, and randomly I picked up the book one day. I remember this vividly as well, and just literally thumbed through the pages just quickly and just kind of opened up to a random page. And there was a scripture that just jumped off at me, and it was as if that book spoke to me directly. It was an amazing experience, and frankly, it freaked me out. It scared me, so I put the book down. And I didn't pick it up for probably another week, but that experience happened to me twice.
Do you remember what those verses were in the Book of Mormon that stood out to you?
Yeah, I do. One specifically was where it says, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." You know, that hit me hard because that's literally how I was living my life. It was my thought process that was okay. You know, yay, lie a little and cheat a little, and lest you receive a few stripes and you'll be on your way. And I know that I'm messing that scripture up. It's an amazing scripture, so I'm just paraphrasing there. But it was a direct punch, and it was a direct wake-up. And frankly, it's why I slammed the book closed and set it down.
We're talking with Chad Strang on Why I Believe and hearing about his first experience reading the Book of Mormon. Chad, tell us more about it.
You know, it was kind of an interesting time in my life as well. I was married previously when I lived in Miami and had gone through a divorce probably about a year and a half prior to that experience, meeting my current wife, Allison. It was a difficult time for me. I was in a transition time. I grew up in a large, prominent Christian religion, so I had a very strong Christian background growing up. But I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of concerns. A lot of specific situations in my life that happened that I knew when I was going through difficult times that I needed to go back. And try to find that spiritual side and have that relationship with God again. But I remember going back to the church in which I belonged to and really struggled with that. And I went back a couple of times and had decided that I just wasn't going to find my answers there for some reason. There were some good things about it, but there were deeper questions that I was searching for at that point. Is, you know, what am I doing here? What is this all about? Why is this, you know, why are these trials happening to me? And frankly, how do I get through it? How do I, you know, is there someone out there? Is God really out there? And is he, you know, listening to me? And is he concerned with what's going on in my life? And at the time, prior to meeting Allison and prior to my exposure to the church, I didn't think so. I mean, it was a really tough time for me. I mean, God was kind of a mystery to me. He was all knowing and this, you know, spiritual, mystical being. I knew there was a God, but, you know, some of the doctrines from the LDS church really opened my eyes as to who God was. So, you know, getting back to, you know, the Book of Mormon and boy, it just hit me so hard. You know, it was a combination of a lot of things. And I think it's the way the Lord sometimes prepares us for certain situations, to hear certain things. And looking back now, boy, he sure was preparing me. At the time, I had no idea, but he sure was preparing me.
You're listening to Why I Believe, and we're talking with Chad Strang, who is telling us how he first came in contact with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Chad, what happened next?
Allison and I had made the decision. We were kind of dating long distance, if you will, and both of us had very established careers. She had just said to me very kindly, and I didn't feel like it was an ultimatum at all, but she just said, you know, long distance relationships are difficult, and we obviously like each other. However, you live in Miami and I live in Salt Lake, and let's talk about that. And I mean, before we even had an opportunity to talk, it just blurted out of my mouth that I'll move to Salt Lake. And there was kind of a silent moment over the phone because, frankly, I couldn't believe that I'd said it and it had come out of my mouth, not because I didn't want to, but because I had, you know, 12 years in Miami and established career down there. And Allison couldn't believe it just because I think she didn't think that I would do that. As crazy as it all may have looked on paper, it felt so right inside. It felt the whole time that something was guiding and directing me to Salt Lake. Inside, in my heart, it just felt right. It just felt right. So we started making the plans. We met in January. I moved here in end of May, and we were married in August.
So at what point specifically did you start looking more closely at the church?
When I eventually moved out here, she had a brother. He and I were out playing golf one day. He had asked me if I wanted to meet with the missionaries. And literally, I think I was in the middle of my downswing, and I just said, sure, whatever. It was more of a dismissal, thinking that he wouldn't go through with it.
Just for the benefit of our listeners, the missionaries Chad refers to are church members, often referred to as elders, who volunteer their time to teach people the basics about our faith.
Yeah. I think it was 2 days later. I had, you know, two missionaries on my doorstep, and I remember those two elders well. I remember their names and had just a great experience with them. And, you know, the first words out of my mouth were, welcome, welcome, sit down. However, you know, just so you're aware, I'm not going to be baptized. I feel like I've done that already, and I'm satisfied with where I'm at. But I wanted to know because I knew that Allison had a strong conviction for it, and it's how she was raised, and I thought it just wouldn't hurt to have that information. I mean, why not?
So how did things go?
I was so impressed with those young men, and, you know, 19 years old. They're amazing what the Lord does for those missionaries. But they were strong young men with conviction, and they had a standard, and I listened to them. I mean, they were great. And I remember there were several things that they discussed: baptism and the life after this life, and some amazing doctrine, if you will. And I had so many questions growing up as a young person, and in my religion, and so many concerns. And it just seemed, in just a short period of time, all those answers were given to me, and it floored me a little bit. You know, I never expected to receive any of those answers. I was okay with that. I was okay with thinking, I knew God existed, but he's bigger than I can understand. He's bigger than I can grasp because he's God. And frankly, I was okay with that. I wanted to know more, but I just didn't think those answers existed. So those men, those elders provided those answers. And I, by the third meeting, I had made the decision that I was going to get baptized.
You're listening to Why I Believe, talking with Chad Strang, who just told us how he decided to become a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Chad, tell us more.
I remember the missionaries leaving, and I went out back to talk to Allison after, and her family actually would come over for a lot of those discussions, which was awesome. I loved that because it was good to have, for me, it was good to have insights of what others maybe experienced, or, and just frankly, that support system. It floored Allison, you know, it surprised her. Because again, she was very good about not pushing me into that. And it surprised my family. It shocked them. And I'm very close with my parents. And I remember having a conversation with my mom and my dad about it. And they flat out asked me, if we didn't want you to do it, would you still do it? And I said, absolutely, I would. So knowing that, they knew how serious I was and I moved forward. I ended up getting baptized.
What a great story.
Thanks.
How did it dawn on you that you were doing this for you?
Yeah. A couple of things happened during that experience as I was kind of praying about that. I was very close with, I grew up in a very big family. We were very close. Right up to, you know, my great-grandmother lived to be 103. So I was close with her for the majority of my life, and my grandparents and all the way down, my siblings. There were two questions that came into my mind. I remember the discussion on baptism, and that raised a lot of questions for me. And the first thing I thought about, this was interesting, the first thing I thought about was my family. So those that had passed on, I had two younger brothers that had passed on. One passed away of SIDS. He was 3 months old. And the other one was just premature. So only lived about a day. He was between me and my younger brother. And I remember praying about that. And it was really my first experience as I remember it. I'm sure I've had others, but it's the difference between recognizing it and not recognizing it. I remember getting a very distinct answer as I prayed about, well, what about my family? Because at that point I was considering it. But it, for me it was, but what about those that have passed on? And I remember getting a loud and clear answer that's been taken care of. And I just felt this calm and comfort come over me about that. And I had received an answer that was okay, that was being taken care of.
We're talking with Chad Strang on Why I Believe. Chad just told us about the comfort he felt as he learned about a teaching of our church, how the Lord will bless those who did not have a chance to learn about Jesus Christ and his gospel while they were alive. Chad, what other teachings of the church have been meaningful to you?
You know, there are several there are several times in my life when I was a young child. Really, my first experience with, you know, the word of wisdom.
So, to explain really quick, Chad, about the word of wisdom for those who might not have heard that phrase before, the word of wisdom in our church is a law of health that we follow to keep our bodies healthy and pure. In other words, we don't smoke or drink or do anything that might be harmful to our bodies.
Yeah. I was a young kid playing on the young boy playing on the playground during school, and one of the priests, pastors in our faith was walking through the playground as he did on occasion, and it just so happened he was smoking at that time, And that just floored me. That was very bizarre to me. And I remember walking up to him and asking him why he was smoking. I just asked him outright. And And I think it startled him a little and it puzzled him. And I remember his response. He just said, none of us are perfect. And he just kind of walked away. And that was interesting for me as a young child, as I kind of processed that. I just thought that, none of us are perfect, but we should, I felt like we should try to live by a higher standard. And, you know, smoking for me was, that was one of those things that I thought it'd be okay if you gave that up, you know? And so it was interesting that, you know, that was my first real exposure to kind of the word of wisdom. And, you know, when that was presented to me by the missionaries, I was like, of course, that makes sense. We you know, our bodies are a temple and we should take care of it. And of course, smoking is horrible for your body, you know?
So now that you feel now that you're living this higher standard, how do your friends see you? How is your life different?
Yeah.
I mean, does this make you happier?
You've
alluded to, I mean, obviously it would, otherwise you wouldn't have made the choice to join the church. But maybe for some of our listeners who maybe they're going through the same thing right now, they're searching for the answers that you were searching for. How can you tell them how your life is different now than what it was?
Yeah. You know, interesting, just a quick story, interesting thing. Happened. I had some friends come out that I haven't seen in, well, since I've left Florida. And they came out just to visit just a few months ago. And they're so amazed at the transformation that my life has made. And I felt bad a little bit because it's almost as if I had forgotten how blessed I was and how much the gospel has changed my life. You know, so much has happened to me. I mean, Allison and I obviously got married and we have three beautiful children, and that was an interesting process for me. I was both reminded of how amazing the gospel is and all that it's provided me. You know, I lived a very different lifestyle before I joined the church. In so many ways, I would have been considered, you know, a good guy in society. I was a casual drinker and, you know, on weekends or, you know, special occasions, I would have a couple of drinks and it wasn't over the top. But, you know, it had gotten to the point where I didn't know how to relax or how to have a good time without having a drink. How do you have fun? How do you let loose on the weekend? Well, you know, I just have a couple of drinks and all is well. And that was an interesting process for me as I relate that to the gospel, because, you know, of course, living the word of wisdom for the last 8 years and a completely different lifestyle. And, you know, I'm happy all the time. The gospel fills your life up with just this internal joy. And it starts right from the core and it goes all the way out. And it's not to say that I don't have my struggles or I don't have my down days or my difficult days, because that happens. We're human. And that's what this life really is all about, is to learn and to grow and to have those struggles and trials. But there's this full feeling that you get as a result from the gospel. And I remember my previous life, if you will, trying to fill that cup up with other things, whether that's, you know, a drink to relax or whatever that was. But I always remember it would just fill up a little and then I would wake up the next day and it would be empty. And then I would try to fill it up again with something else. Whereas, you know, now with the gospel, it's full all the time. One of my friends, while they were out here, asked me, he was just puzzled by this whole thing. He says, what do you do for fun? He's like, you don't have any bars around here or any places, anything to do, you know? And I said, well, that was an interesting question for me, because I said, well, I spend time with my family. That's what's fun. I spend time with my wife and my children, and the gospel fills me up. You know, it's I'm busy. I serve in the church, and I play with my kids, and I do all those things that provide so much happiness. So it's all about the family, you know. I mean, that's what the gospel is all about. That's what the Book of Mormon reminds us. And that's what our temples are all about, is the family. Everything centers on the family. And that's what brings me happiness. And I feel like I've got answers to all my questions. I feel like I've got everything that the gospel provides.
What a great analogy, your cup being full.
Yeah, thanks.
And we really appreciate you coming and being willing to share all these things. And just in closing, is there any advice maybe that you'd like to give others that may be searching for the same answers that you found yourself searching for?
Yeah. You know, it was, I don't think I was looking. I wasn't looking for the gospel, but I'm grateful I found it. I know the answers are there. I know the Book of Mormon has changed my life, and the gospel completely has changed my life. If people are looking for answers, especially nowadays in this difficult time, what is our purpose? What are we doing here? And frankly, where are we going? I think people, for the most part, have a belief that there is something after this. And I'm here to say that there is. And the gospel will provide those answers. The Book of Mormon provides those answers. It wasn't as if I was, you know, searching diligently for it, but I'm grateful that it has been given to me. And since it has, I can't get enough of it. It's just changed my life.
Thanks for being with us today on Why I Believe. For more information on today's topics, visit radio.lds.org.